earth and separation unto God. And that's a very important matter for us to discuss. Thank God for what God shared with us yesterday. And tonight, again, we would like to go ahead and believe God. I'm hoping that tomorrow morning we will also be able to say some few more things before we land up. God will help us in Jesus' name. I know that most of us, we are very, very familiar. At least every man who has ever heard anything about God knows that God is holy, isn't it? And I have never seen a man that took that for granted. Nobody. Consciously or unconsciously, everybody just knows that God is holy and he doesn't like some certain things. That's why sometimes when you go to church, it doesn't matter which kind of church. It doesn't matter who the person is. As soon as they are coming into the church, what they will not normally do, as soon as they are entering the church, at least even if it is for that 1 hour, they will make sure they do everything orderly and according to pattern. Do you notice what I'm saying? For example, it's very difficult for you to see anybody going to church, and when he may be smoking before he enters the church building, but as soon as he steps into the church, what does he do to the cigarette? He quenches it. No matter how the thing is pushing him, for that 1 hour, he says, no, we're in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And I've not seen somebody also, no matter how quarrelsome this woman is, who it is in the church service, she would like to quarrel her husband. Have you ever seen that kind of thing before? No. No matter, they will suspend it. Say, when we come back from church, we will continue where we stopped. Is that not so? Yes. It's because there is an awareness, there's a consciousness of the nature of God whom we are dealing with. So to be talking about holiness, the holiness of God and the need for holiness of our lives, it's something that looks obvious. But tonight, the Holy Spirit is leading us to look at this aspect of our Christian life as God will want us to consider it. I would like us to see that there is a need for it, not necessarily for God's sake. Are you understanding? When we talk of holiness tonight, we are not talking of something we are doing for God. We are talking of something that is necessary for our benefit, for us to be victorious, for us to win every battle over our enemy, for us to be all that God intends us to be, for us to stand and lift up our heads among our colleagues and above principalities and powers, and still be able to take our stand. Hallelujah. Amen. When God will help us to see this need, you will know that it's a glorious thing. You will know that it's something you should desire. It's something you should spend and invest all your life on, to make sure by God's grace you walk with him in righteousness and holiness all the days of your life. So tonight we'll just take time to look at the need, just the need for holiness of life on our part. We are going to be looking at various things that will be our advantage if we can get God to go with us. I have known something, that what makes the difference is whether God is present in a man's life or not. The difference is not that somebody is huge. The difference is not that somebody is articulate. The difference is not that somebody is very, very academic and very, very highly learned, and he knows so many things, he can solve many mathematical questions, and he can enter into a lot of analysis. No, that's not what brings victory unto lives of men. If you remember what the book of Ecclesiastes say in chapter 9, it said the battle is not to the swift, nor the race to the strong. Have you come across that scripture before? It's not how strong men are. The difference is the Lord around? Is the Lord with me? And one condition for us to see the Lord at work in our lives every day, one condition for God to go with us, for God to move in us, for God to cause us to be victorious, is that He is able to work in our lives. And since God is God, and since He will not change, and since there's nothing that can impress Him or suppress Him or oppress Him or confuse Him from anywhere, He is just who He is. There's need for us to see that we are the one to adjust. Praise the Lord. We are going to read a scripture that we are all familiar with, just as a take up, at least now, before we get furthermore into the things we want to say. We want to make a basic text from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We would like to read, we'll just read verse 1 and verse 2. Then jump very quickly to verse 14 and read it to verse 18. And jump to chapter 7 and verse 1. That will be okay as our basic text. We may not cover the whole of that scripture tonight, but that should be our text. We'll always return back to it. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He says, I have had thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Now, a general overview of these scriptures that we have read will help us to launch on. Now, the Bible says in verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 6 that the first primary thing that should bother us is that we have been men, women, that God has called unto grace. God has called us unto a divine enablement to do the things that otherwise, by human struggles, we couldn't have been able to do. It looks as if God has already done something to us. God has poured upon us grace upon grace. God has decided to turn His eyes on us. He has decided to help us. He has decided to do something tangible, something that we can hold, something that we can talk about. God has decided to do that for you and for myself. Praise the Lord. It looks as if God is bringing us into a privileged position. A privileged position that if God will help us to understand how men that are outside, how they see us, and how angels are struggling to have this kind of opportunity, and how the elders that went before us, the patriarchs of faith, the men, the heroes that we talk about, how they are eagerly just looking and say, God, so this is the kind of thing you meant for this kind of people, and we were just struggling all along, and you told us just to wait. If you can see the kind of desire, the book of 1 Peter says, look, God has called us into something where we have been called to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that cannot fade. And these things, angels, this is how they were doing, so that if they can see it, elders were busy gnashing their teeth and say, oh, I wish we were, it's our turn. And God says, sorry, it's not meant for you. It's meant for these people. Praise the Lord. So we discover that God has called us to grace. God has called us unto something good. God has called us to His glory and His virtue. If anybody is here today and you know the call of God that brought you to Jesus Christ to become born again, God has not called you to disgrace you. Hallelujah. God has not called you to let you down. God has not called any of us to frustrate us at all. But the Bible says God has called us to become partakers of divine nature. He has called us to His glory. He has called us to virtue. He has called us unto something good. He has called us unto something wonderful. He has called us unto something great. And all this, it's not because we bribe God. It's not because we have done anything that will make us merit it. He has given us grace. So the beginning of this scripture says, We beseech you that you receive not the grace of God. How? In vain. Don't let it fall to the ground. Don't let the opportunity God has given you to walk with God, to experience God, don't let it waste. And for so many of us, we have wasted a lot of opportunities. We have wasted a lot and lot and lot of God's grace. We have wasted things. And it just seems as if God made a mistake. But He has not regretted. And He has not changed His mind. Hallelujah. And that is why in a kind of time like this, we still discover the Holy Spirit out of love, out of concern, wanting us to discover the secret of our inheritance, the secret of God's calling on our lives. And we are asked, whenever people talk about holiness, oh, they think it's for some group of people that are just struggling. Some say, well, look, I'm not an holiness preacher, I'm a faith man, and therefore I'm a ride-on guy. He said, no, you are making a serious mistake. Holiness is not for people that are sad. Hallelujah. Holiness is not for people that are struggling. Holiness of life is not for people that are confused. And I don't see your victory when you are not living right. I don't see how great your faith is looking when the power of God is not in your life in holiness and righteousness. For the Bible says our God is glorious in what? In holiness. The glory of God manifests in holiness. That's how it happens. So for us to departmentalize our Christian life, say, I'm for this, I'm not for that, that would be the serious mistake. And maybe that's why we chase out demons day and night, and the demons are turning around to chase us everywhere. May God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so the Bible says, we beseech you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For God says, I have heard you in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation, I have come to your help. And look, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Do not take it for granted. And as we are pressing on in this meeting, I just want you to understand that exhortation from God. Don't take it for granted. If you have opportunity to live right tonight, I want you to grab it. As I go on telling you this, the reason for holiness, the need for holiness, you will see that it's something you want to hold. It's something, you know, when I was reading the handbill, I wondered the person who wrote it. And it said so many things. It said, why are you not successful? Why is your life full of woes and problems? Why do you not have a breakthrough in your life? Why are you perpetually sick and frustrated? It is not, you know, when he said all those things, I say, Kai, that's the reason actually. That's the reason why many people are weak. That's the reason why many people are just sick. Because the Lord Almighty has not found a place to stay.
No matter what we do, if we can't get God to go with us to every situation of our lives, we are just wasting our time because there will be no way out. Praise the Lord. So that scripture says, please, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Don't let it fall to the ground. Don't let the grace of God become useless in your life as an individual. And as we are going on, I want you to make up your mind that, God, I'm going to get all I can. I'm going to maximize your grace over my life, even according to your will and according to your word and according to your purpose for me. Now, so the next verse that we read, verse 14, 15, 16, they are wonderful scriptures, but I wouldn't want to spend time on them as of now. We are not really going to do that yet. But I want you to know something, that there is a reason why God has to say what he's saying in verse 14, why what he was saying in verse 15 and verse 16. You will soon discover it when you come to the last line of verse 16. It is sometimes when we are reading scriptures, there's need for us to understand what is the heart of God. Why is God saying this thing that he's saying? Are you hearing me? Why is God trying to say this thing? For example, when God said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? What does he mean? Why is he saying what is the concord between light and darkness and Christ and Belial and all? What does he mean? What is he looking for? Does he just want to put us in a bottle and keep us in a cage so that we can't do what we want to do? We see so many men moving up and down, running here and there. Can't we join them? Can we just move with them and also feel happy with them? Can we just enter into the same business with them? Now God was going to give the reason. And it is that reason that, you know, attracts my own attention. If I want to live a holy life at all, it's because of the reason for it. It's because of something I'm discovering. That's why I want to live straight in the presence of God. That's why I want God to help me to maintain his presence everywhere I go. Now it says, for you. Have you seen it? Turn your Bibles with me. Chapter 6, verse 16. Have you seen it? The last line. It says, for you are the temple of the living God. Emphasis on living God. Are you following what we are reading? So for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, God has said something which we need to understand again, that I will dwell in them. I just want you to imagine what God is saying tonight. That God has said, I will dwell. What's the meaning of dwell? I will abide. I will reside. I will settle. Not that I will go occasionally and come back. There are some Christians, I know them, that occasionally they feel spiritual. Are you understanding that? Occasionally they will just say, oh, yay, the Spirit just came on me now. Hallelujah. And after some 1 hour, it has gone again. They have just come back to where they were. They said, when I was in that meeting, anointing was very, very, very strong. What is it now? It has gone. But take note of what God is saying. He said, I will dwell. You know the meaning of dwell? I will stay. I will live. I will abide. I will reside in them. Just imagine what God is saying. That the Almighty God, the living God, the Lord that made the heavens and the earth, the Lord who dwells in Shekinah glory that eyes of men cannot approach unto, has said something, that I will dwell in them. I pray God will help you to understand me in Jesus' name. Just imagine. Supposing you are the wife of the general manager of a particular company, and then the commissioner of commerce and industries in Gongola State just says, he tells your husband that, I'm going to visit you tomorrow night.
Can you imagine what you are going to do as the wife and as the manager, that your commissioner just wants to visit you just for 1 hour? What is going to happen? I want us all to think quickly. What is going to happen? There's going to be a lot of preparations. Eh? If the video sex was not in order, what are you going to do immediately? You either repair it or borrow another one. Am I saying something different? All the house, all those pints that children used to drop here and there, 1 hour before the man arrives, what are you going to do? Every place sparkling clean. You will spray the room to make sure that any bad odor is not noticed. And the children that are very raw, what are you going to do? 1 hour before the man comes, you give them a quick bath. Give them a good dress. Is that okay? The ones that will not listen, because you think they will just do something, what do? You take them inside one room and lock them up. Now, the dishes that you have never opened since the day of your wedding. Am I saying something different? What are you going to do that day? You are bringing it out. Dusted, very clean. You will go and cut flowers and put on the table, set everywhere. Then what do? You get a good music, a Christian music. Just slot it in. You make sure everything is just going cool. You may have spent about 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 naira just because the commissioner will visit your house for 1 hour. And it has happened severally that the commissioner, when it remains about 10 minutes to the time, will just send a message that the governor needs my attention at 7 p.m. Sorry, I won't be able to come again. Have you not happened before? Such things have happened. But just that a commissioner, an ordinary man, says, I'm going to visit you for 1 hour, every place is clean. I'm sure you go and brush your mouth so that you don't produce a bad odor at all when you are discussing. Praise the Lord. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Now the Bible says, for the Lord has said, and I want you to note something here, that none of us forced God to say it. He said this because of his love. He said this because he had determined to do so. The Lord God has said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them. I will stay. I will dwell in your life. I will abide. I'm not going to be going and coming. I will not just be a visiting God. I will dwell. I will remain. I will stay with you. Hallelujah. I want you to listen and still coming on this as God leads us on. Tonight all we are looking at is just the need for holiness. The need. I'm not bringing rules and regulations. If you are not holy, you go to hell. That's not my business tonight. That's not the message. The message is that somebody, God, our God, said, I will dwell in you. I want to be with you. I want to stay. I don't want to visit you occasionally. I don't want it to be special retreat. Say, so we are going to Mountain Zion. On to Mountain Zion. We are going to see the Lord. No. It's not going to Mountain Zion. Are you understanding? It's not taking some distance of trekking and of moving around to go and see God. And after we sing, say, oh, I see the Lord. And after 30 minutes or 1 hour, they say, what has happened? Say, I've come down from the mount. I've come down. All these troubles have come to me again. No. He said, I will do what? I will dwell. But let's go ahead. He said, and walk in them. I just pray God grant us revelation tonight.
That God says, I will walk. I'll go up and down in them. I'll move here, I'll move there in them. All my businesses, I want to do it in them. Everything I want to do, I want to walk in them. Just want you to imagine what God meant. That if he wants to go somewhere, he would like to go that place in me. That I will walk in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Hallelujah. So do you notice a very important word in verse 17? What did you see there? Wherefore? What's the meaning of wherefore? What's the meaning of wherefore? As a result of this, for this reason. So when we're talking about separation unto God, it's not something without basis. When we are talking about separating our lives and getting ourselves set and living a different life from the world system, it's not without a basis. It's not arbitrary. There is a wherefore before we can do anything. And if you are just pursuing holiness, without this wherefore, it will be too cumbersome. Are you understanding me? If you are just saying, let us be holy, let us be holy, for what purpose? When there is no this wherefore in scripture, there's no way to make it. I've always looked at my scriptures and I discover many wherefores, therefores, and I always thank God. I say, that's why. When somebody will just come to the madam and say, madam, we have seen that your house, you are just cleaning everywhere, you are just sending things to dry cleaners and all this. What is happening? He said, Commissioner, he's visiting us tonight. Does that not give you no reason? Yes. Eh? You quickly go to bank. Say, my husband, please, I need 2,000 for tonight. He said, why? He said, look, Commissioner is coming here. And this house has to be put in shape. Because he's coming. Go and watch now. As there's an anticipation that President is coming here next week. Go and imagine those of you that are in government, millions of naira that will be spent just to make sure that Commissioner the President will not go on a rough road. Even if we must commission some road projects and tell them that overnight we want that place to be tarred, pour something on it so that there's no dust. You will see it next week. Why? President is coming. Are you understanding what we are talking about? If you don't see the need for holiness, brother, I want you to go away. I don't want you to force yourself and say, I just want to be holy. If you don't know the reason, it will be too cumbersome. It will be killing. You will enter into rules and regulations. They say we should not touch this. They say we should not. No, that's not it. It's a glorious experience. It is with utmost pleasure that I want to separate myself unto the living God. Hallelujah. Yeah. When I decide to live sanctified and say, Lord, I just want to separate myself for you and for you and for you alone. I'm doing it out of pleasure. When I say I don't want to live in sin, it's not because somebody says, if you live in sin, you will die. That's not the reason. It's just that somebody, the Most High God, say, I want to be with you. And the only thing he doesn't want, that I know him, is that he's of a purer eyes. His eyes can't behold iniquity. Hallelujah. Did you see wherefore in verse 17? Did you see wherefore? So why must we come out from among them and be ye separate? Why? Why? Because the Lord God has said. Did you hear what I said so far tonight?
Brother, why would you want to separate yourself from the world if you know the way how to do it? Because the Lord God has said, not that I will visit you for 1 hour, that I want to dwell in you. I want to move in you. I will be your God and you'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And at the end of that, what did you discover? The Lord Almighty. Sometimes I read that scripture as if it looks like friend. The Lord Almighty. This promise is not an empty, aimless promise. You know, sometimes when people want to bring anonymous letter, they just write something, so many things, they will refuse to sign it. If you receive a letter in your office and saying we have promoted you from level 10 to level 13, something, congratulations. Before you jump around, what do you look for first? You look for the signature. Does he carry the official letterhead? And does he have an authentic signature? God has not written us is an anonymous letter. Did you see at the end of verse 80, after we talk, find the Lord Almighty. Look at it. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbeliever, and all this blue, you have read everything. Because I want to dwell in you, I want to walk in you, I will be your God, you'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters. Find the Lord Almighty. I don't know, you know, sometimes he could have just said, find the Lord. But that would not have given us a complete understanding of who is writing. Say, find the Lord Almighty. The Lord, that anytime he wants to do anything, he can do it. He said, I will be a father to you. You'll be my sons, you'll be my daughters. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm just believing that you will see the need. Because, you know, these 2 days that God has given us to speak on this issue, all I'm aiming and looking unto God to do is to persuade you personally that from now, you will now recognize that others may think you are ordinary. Others may take you for granted, but you won't take yourself for granted. You will walk and move among men, recognizing that somebody is dwelling in me. I don't know whether you get me. You know, sometimes I was describing a story of a commissioner visiting. I went to one of my friends' house some time ago when they were in government. And I didn't know that one big, important personality was with him. Is that okay? And I just jammed into the sitting room as my usual manner was. And I saw everybody seated quietly and, you know, with a sense of something. I say, what's happening here? Then they quickly said, he is around. I said, They said, we have been waiting and preparing for him since morning. He has just come. Just because somebody will come and for 30 minutes he's gone. I'm praying that it will dawn on you that when we move out of this place, and the devil is trying to lure you into sin,
or the world is trying to invite you onto their useless activities, you would like to say, sorry, I have a resident boss. Who is here now? He's here. Please have me excuse. I can't have him here and be going around with you. They say, who is that? I said, the Lord Almighty. Said, that's why I can't misbehave. That's why it doesn't matter. You can take the whole world, you can take my job, take the contract, take everything. I have a resident, not a visitor now, but a resident boss. The Lord Almighty. He has said, I will dwell in me. Huh? He will do what? He will walk in me. He will be my God. And it's not a blank letter. It's not anonymous. Signed. Official stamp. The Lord Almighty. May God open your eyes in Jesus' name. Do you know it's a grace? It's great grace. Sometimes we go around and say, I'm sure you don't know who you are talking to. I'm sure you have not yet recognized that demons can be jumping around, can be pressing you here, pressing you there. They can't press me because somebody, the makers of heaven and earth, the Lord Almighty, has said, I will dwell in him. Hallelujah. That's why I want to be holy. Did you hear me? I don't want to be holy so that you can say I'm holy. That's not the reason. I don't want to be holy to fulfill a rule. I don't want to live a holy so that I can be accepted among fellowship. No, that's not the reason. I want to be holy because he has said, whatever it will cost me, I would like to invest all my life to have him dwell in my life. Whatever people are doing outside, I don't care again. He has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be a father to them. They will be my sons and my daughters. Fine. Now look at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1. You discover another important word. What again did you discover there? Therefore. So the issue of holiness that we are talking about, are you listening to me? It's the issue that is coming out of a therefore. And if we don't know the basis, we will just be struggling. Some people will speak careless. Some people will take it for granted. Some people will live anyhow. Some people will think they are doing something by saying, yes, I don't believe that. No, you can't do that if your eyes is opened. Are you hearing me? Eh? The day that Isaiah broke into the presence of God, he had been a prophet for years. Are you getting me? He had been prophesying. He had been saying many things, but he has not seen anything. He said, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And I saw angels. And you know angels. That's all they could do. They can't even go to them, to him. They are singing, covering their eyes. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. His everywhere was shaking and quaking. Then I discovered that I am useless. I couldn't, woe is me. He started shouting, he said, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. They say, yes, woe is you. But that's a big preacher. He's one of the most popular men in town as at that time. From that day forward, his life, his message, everything changed. For he has seen the Holy God. May God help us to see something like that tonight in Jesus' name. If I give altar call tonight, it's for your benefit. He
You see, I'm coming to a point where I'm believing God that that our life should be dominated because of the presence of God that we know. We should recognize the difference between activities and begin to go with Jesus. It's a Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. So the message of holiness is to which group of people? Dearly beloved. Did you hear what I said? If God is sitting you down and is talking to you about preparing yourself to separate yourself unto Him and for His purpose and for His glory, it's because you are a dearly beloved. If God doesn't love you, He will allow you to do what you like. Are you hearing me? If God will allow you, take you for granted, go anywhere you like. But when God is beginning to insist, you want to do a business contract and you told a small lie, and the Holy Spirit now can say, no! Go and confess that that was a lie. You didn't tell the real truth. It's because you are dearly beloved. Others will tell those lies, they will go, their heart will be fast. They say, yes, we have been able to overcome that kind of thing. We are men that are living in the realm of supernatural, and they are telling lies. Something is wrong. Maybe God is no more interested in them. That's why He doesn't care how they live. That's why He doesn't care how they talk. But if there's any of you here tonight, you just discover that the Holy Spirit will not let you go, then I want to congratulate you. I want you to congratulate yourself and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for loving me. I'm a dearly beloved. The message of holiness is not just meant for men. God speaks it to people He loves. When you go to Hebrews chapter 12, He says, look, the son that the father loves, what does he do to that child? He chastises him. Even that scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, God didn't start talking about holiness, except there is a dear father. Do you want to check it? I want you to check it. See from verse 10, he was talking about something. Maybe from verse 6. That's where that message started. Whom the Lord loveth, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? And some of us want to be house girls. How many of us would like to be house girls? You know house girls. When house girls do something, there's a limit to which you can beat your house girl. I think you know. You're always going to say, well, why are you doing like that? Why are you doing that? I will beat you. I will kill you. One day the house girl will tell you the story of your life. And say, please, I have my mother. Don't kill me for my mother. Is it because I'm here washing plate for you and washing nappy that you say you want to kill me? I'm going now. And the girl will just pack her load and go. On the day you need her most. But your children will go nowhere. Is that okay? Some people are threatening God. As if we preach very hard message, they will go away. That's how some people are living there. Tell us this. Tell us that. Don't tell us that kind of thing. We don't like that kind of stuff. And you are threatening God as if you will go away. The child whom the father receives, he does what? He scourges. But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all of us are partakers, then you are bastards, and you are not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, we collected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, that word yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness
unto them which are exercised thereby.
Wherefore? Did you see that? Eh? Did you see wherefore there?
Wherefore, lift up the hands which have, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise the Lord. All this. Now look at chapter 7. We are back in our scripture. I've been there for this. Promising, Lord, let us cleanse.
Hallelujah. Now, so the question before us tonight is this. What will the presence of God do in our lives? Why must we cherish what God is saying? What will the presence of God do in our lives? If God actually say, I will dwell in them, I will be with them, I will walk in them, they will be my sons, my daughters, I'll be their father. What will be the benefit of that? I prefer to go that way before we now decide whether we want it or we don't want it. Amen. I do not want you to rush into decisions tonight. I want you to be persuaded. Because it may cost you some things. You may have to change the rock and put the one he wanted. Because I weighed it and measured it and concluded that it is still better for you. Did you follow me so far? Now, what's the benefit of his presence? Why must we get God to go with us? Let's quickly turn to some scriptures in the Old Testament. Let's look at the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers. I want us to check from chapter 9. The book of Numbers, chapter 9 and chapter 10. We're using illustrations tonight, believing God to lead us on. The story in chapter 9 of Numbers is just the story of the children of Israel. I think you know. Eh? When God took them out of Egypt and he was taking them to the land of Canaan, the land of promise, God promised that I will be with you, I will do so many things and all that. Now, look at let's quickly run to verse 16. Maybe 15, so that it can be clear. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at evening the tabernacle had the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. What's the benefit of that? Here is a group of people, about 600,000 strong men. We are not counting women, we are not counting children. So they must have been very great number. And God was leading them out. And you know what God did? His presence was going to come to their midst. And God chose that during the day, it will be a pillar of cloud. So that during the day, no matter how the sun is biting, they have an umbrella. A divine supernatural umbrella over their heads. Do you understand? And they never knew any sweat. All through their years of journey, the Lord was a cloud over them.
And whenever the enemy is trying to attack them,
you know what happens? The cloud will shift. If the enemy is coming behind, what will the cloud do? The cloud will just shift and come and provide a blockage. So that suddenly, the day will become darkness to the enemy of God's people. From afar, the enemy will just be seeing ordinary darkness. They say, we saw them, we were trying to shoot at them. We saw them before. We saw them. They say, you didn't see them. Now, ordinary darkness. Hallelujah. And so, that was what happened. That people became confused until he rushed into the Red Sea. Because the pillar of cloud came. And when it is night, nobody needed candle in the wilderness. There was this pillar of fire that stood over their head. And if any man is trying to attack them, I think you understand. Those of you that drive cars in the night, if you are coming and another vehicle is coming and you want to confuse the man and push him on the outside, what do you give him? You give him full light. When you give him full light, you give him full light first in trouble. Because he doesn't know where he's going again. You see, he will be entering into the gutter because somebody has given him a full light. And God was not doing anything less than that to the enemies of God's people. There is this terrible light. They have never seen it before. And it will just come on their face. They get confused. They say, we don't know these people now. We don't know who is bringing this kind of light. We don't know how it is. And in the morning, when they will have been seen properly, it's ordinary cloud. Hallelujah. And the book of Psalm 91 says, what is the benefit of that dwelling in such a cloud? Can you quickly check it? Just check it. Help us. There's a reason we are doing all that. It's just to see the need to separate ourselves unto God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, what will happen to him? He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will abide under the shadow, under the cover of the Almighty. Just imagine if God will keep a man under his armpit, under his shadow. You don't know who else will discover him there. Do you think the devil will discover him? Eh? This is not to cajole you. This is, I'm not just trying to make you emotional. I'm telling you that when God decides to go with a man, he's under his shadow. On the outside, everybody that is looking at you on the outside, they are seeing ordinary darkness. They don't know your way. And that's why the devil, some of us think the devil knows many things. He doesn't. From afar, all the devil sees is complete darkness. He doesn't know where we are going. He doesn't know how we are going in. He doesn't know how we are coming in. He doesn't know how we are going out. All they see is a cloud. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible said, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. You can read all that. God will help us later on to study them as he enables us in Jesus' name. But what are we saying tonight? We are trying to see what is the benefit. When God says, I will dwell with you, I will be with you. What will it mean when we begin to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty? When we begin to dwell under the wings of the Most High? When the pillar of cloud covers our head, the pillar of cloud covers us night and day. What will it mean? Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, and I want you to note verse 16. And so it was always. I hope you know we are back in Numbers chapter 9 now. And so it was how always. Not once a week. Not when conditions are good. But that is how it was always. The cloud by day, the fire by night. So it was always. Now let's quickly go on. In verse 23. And the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. And they kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. That's how it happened to them always. Everywhere they went. I'm here going to show you the result, how the enemy saw it, what the enemy concluded about it, and what the enemy is concluding about many of us, even tonight. Now go to chapter 10, very quickly. Now in chapter 10, again God showed them how to move, how to set up their journeys under the cloud. The trumpet is blown and each one is moving according to the will of God. But we don't have time to look at that now. I want you to go to verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. But ever before they departed, the Bible recorded something has happened. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to do what for them? To search out a resting place for them. Are you getting what I'm saying? When men dwell under the presence of God, you are not the one to take the first step. He does it. The Bible says, I went ahead of them to go and look for a resting place. To go and look for where it will be convenient and comfortable for their lives. And that's what God is planning for us. Some of us, we have gone everywhere, we have struggled, and the devil has given us terrible knocks on our head because we went first. God had to go for us. Hallelujah. And so, I discovered that every battle these people went while they were with God. If you read your Bible very well, the first thing that goes to their battle is what? Is the ark. Once the ark is going, they will just follow. And the ark is a wonderful experience in their midst. The ark will just go to a place, and as soon as it arrives, the battle is already changed. Because God has come. Let us see who is the enemy that will be able to push God down. So the Bible said, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward. Let's see what Brother Moses said. Verse 35. Rise up, Lord, and let your enemies be what? Scattered. And let them that hate you, let them flee before you. For Brother Moses, anytime they are moving, and the ark moved first, he described that anybody that stood against them is standing against who? Standing against God. So a man that has the presence of God in his life, may I quickly say, he doesn't have a personal enemy. Did you hear what I said? When you are living under the presence of God, when God is with you, all I'm saying is this. Anybody who stands against you, he thinks it is you he's standing against. He's standing against somebody whom he never thought of. Did you understand what I'm saying? If God is in a man's life, don't try him.
Did you follow what I said? If God is in a man's life, please, in your own interest, don't double him. Because you are fighting somebody you didn't think about. You are fighting the Lord Almighty. So many times, you remember when that man came and took the wife of Abraham. And the man was going to sleep cool. He thinks he can just take anybody's wife as he used to do. That was his normal custom. Any beautiful looking lady that entered the town, the boys will go around and say, yes, we've got a chick. He said, go and bring her for me. And whether she's married or not, they just carry the girl and go and give him. And he will sleep with them. That day he made a mistake. He misfired. Are you understanding me? That's the privilege of a man that lives in the presence of God. The man was sleeping when God appeared to him and said, so you took my wife. That's how God put it. So you took my wife. You are a dead man. Ah! The man woke up in the middle of the night and said, what have I done? You took my wife. You are a dead man. Because of that, I've already closed the womb of all your wives. None of them will deliver me. I've already, that's their end. Finish. He said, what did I do? The man didn't tell her that his wife, he says, I was his sister. That's what he said. What do you mean? You don't know the man is a prophet. You took my wife. Ha! The man quickly jumped up. That same night, he sent for Abraham. He says, kiss, why did you want to kill me? Was it Abraham that wanted to kill him? Or he wanted to kill himself? How do you dabble on another man's wife like that? He quickly brought the wife back. Said, please, Oga, that's the king of the land. Call me Abraham, Oga. He said, excuse, I have returned the wife. Who have written? He said, no, that's not enough. I have already sealed the womb of all your wives, so they won't deliver again forever and forever and ever. He said, what am I going to say? Go and make a sacrifice. Go and give it to Abraham. If he accepts it, then I will accept for you. May God open your eyes in Jesus' name. That when we are talking of men that live in the presence of God, people may take us for granted, but we are not ordinary. You don't know that it's a privilege that God says, the sin of whomsoever you remit here on earth, I remit in heaven. But before he says that, do you know what the Bible says? Say, where two or three are gathered together, I am there in their midst. When he is not there in your life, you can be shouting and casting out demons. You are wasting your time. It won't work. All we need to turn situations around is just few men who knows how to bear the Lord around. The problem that is facing your family, I can tell you, brother, it's because of the absence of the Lord Almighty. If you say, I'm doing this, if you will sit down tonight and focus, and let's get something straight, and you say, Lord, I don't want to go, I tell you, go with me. Most things will turn around. Hallelujah. So go and sacrifice to the man. If he agrees, finish. If he doesn't agree, that's all for you. You won't don't finish. They went and begged him. In fact, that they gave him land. Hallelujah. They gave him land. If anywhere you want, please take it. Pray for us. Pray for us because we know it is God that answers your own prayer. All our own are yeah. It's a privilege to be related to the Most High God. To be able to speak to Him and He answers. It's
a privilege. So you say, rise up, Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. When God was with them, they don't have personal enemies. They don't fight battles for themselves. The Lord does it. And when he trusted, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Hallelujah. That's how they progressed. I'm just trying to show you what it is when the Lord is with a man. So, they arrive in one place. Let's quickly check Numbers chapter 22. Have you seen Numbers 22? Okay. Now, shortly before 22, chapter 21 had told us how these little people that don't, you know, let me tell you a secret about them. You know that their great-grandfather is a shepherd. Do you know that? Eh? Abraham, their father, was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. And Rebecca, their mother, the daughter of Bethuel. What was the family trade of Bethuel? He was a shepherd. Was there a blacksmith in their tribe? Eh? Was there any blacksmith in their tribe? No. So they don't deal with weapons. How many will you go into their midst and you find spear and arrow or anything? It was very funny that for years the children of Israel have been fighting battles. Nobody talks about the weapons like arrows, like spears, like whatever they had. No. There was even a time in the days of Saul that the Bible said only with Saul and Jonathan was found a sword. Eh? The rest of the children of Israel, even when they went to fight, they had to go to the enemy, the Philistines, to go and sharpen their knife and their cutlass. Can you imagine? How can you be going to war and you want your enemy to help you sharpen things? That should tell us, how did they used to fight their battle before? What fought their battles for them? Eh? It was God. They don't deal with weapons, they deal with God. So the Bible gave us records of many places God had led them and they have gotten victory. The Amorites, the Eshbon, the Agag, Sihon, all these people, they dealt with them. So in chapter 22, something happened, which I'd like each of you to note tonight. I'm praying that within the short time that we are going to pray together tonight, you will understand what goes on outside and why we need to live right. Now, they came unto the country of Moab. Have you seen chapter 22? And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the place of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field? Where was this discussion taking place? Eh? Among the Moabites. Is that okay? How did they see the children of Israel? What was the impression the Moabites and their king, what was the impression they were having about the children of Israel in this place? They saw them as threats, one, yes. How did they see them again? Eh? They saw them as men that whenever they get to a place, they do not only conquer, they will do what? They will lick up. You know the meaning of lick? What's the meaning of lick? Eh? I pray you Who has the right word there to leak? Yes, brother, what are you saying? No! To do what? To after you finish eating. Do you understand that? When you eat a good soup and you finish everything, and you have done everything, you now take the thing up and begin to lick it. Is that okay? To make sure nothing remains. That's how the enemy saw the children of Israel. That these people, wherever they come, they will lick up everything around, like an ox will lick up the grass, and you find nothing again. Are we going to allow them to lick us? You might take yourself for granted. You might think you're a useless man. But if you go to the camp of the enemy, if you hear what they are saying, you will stop meddling with them. You will stop going to useless places, as we find many Christians misbehaving. If you discover what the enemy are saying about us, how they fear to enter into our territory because of Jesus, you will not like to exchange that for thousands of naira. What is naira? What is naira? Who is a woman that will come to your life and then you will lose your consecration and lose this great privilege? If you understand, I know it's because you don't know. That's why people live careless. I know that the reason why we do not take holiness of life seriously is because we don't know. I think there's ignorance of who God is making us to be. They were saying, look, these people, they lick up everything up, and they're coming. How did it happen? When Gideon was going to fight the Midianites. Hallelujah. Yeah. Midianites gathered about 150,000 strong men of war with chariots and with horses. And God told Gideon, I don't need all this. I just need 300. He got 300. How was 300 going to fight 150,000? Divide it. 150,000 over 300. Who is helping us with that? Eh? It means one soul is supposed to slaughter. And what do they have? What did God give them? A pitcher, a small pot with light inside. Finish. No arrow. How are they going to fight? And God said, look, this battle is not yours. I've already dealt with them. And Gideon didn't understand. God said, let me show you what is happening. And Gideon had a dream. And he saw the people that in their camp, somebody dreamt a dream. And as he dreamt a dream, he said, we were scattered. And I saw the sword of Gideon. He was just slaughtering us one by one. They say, oh, the sword of Gideon. The sword of Gideon. All of them were panicking. God said, Gideon, do you know what you are going to do? Divide your group into two. 100 here, 100 here, 100 here. And there's only one thing you are going to do. You are going to shout. You will say, the sword of God, the sword of Gideon, the sword of God, the sword of Gideon, the sword of God, the sword of Gideon. When you say that, something will happen. Listen, how does ordinary shout kill 150,000? That's the secret we are talking about. There's an intangible thing, immeasurable, not physical, and that thing is what? Is God. So the people just just jump and say, the sword of God, the sword of Gideon. The sword of God, the sword of Gideon. The sword of God, the sword of Gideon. This one I say, the sword of God, the sword of Gideon. As they are doing like that. You know what is happening in the camp of the enemy? They say, hey, I told you. The sword, so you are now for Gideon. Hey, before you kill me, I will kill you. Before you kill me, I will kill you. Hey, the sword. So you are now standing for Gideon. So you are now standing for Gideon. Hey, you are me. I will deal with you. That's how they kill themselves. They help themselves to slaughter themselves. And all that Gideon needed to go there is to collect his spoil. May God help us to cherish the presence of the Lord in our lives. That because the Lord was with them, all they needed to do is to go and gather the spoil. So go back to Numbers. Go back to Numbers. Now, the Bible said, he gathered the elders. What are we going to do? And Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moabites at that time. Verse 5. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth. How many of them? How many of them cover the face of the earth? That's what is going on in the enemy's camp about you, a child of God. If you are going around, some people are shouting on you. No, that's not the truth. They have something else in mind. Their heart is biting. They are afraid. They don't know the source of your joy. Some people have tried every effort to frustrate you. But every day you just come. The joy of the Lord is my... And they say, look, we have detained this man. We have delayed his promotion for the past 5 years. He is still happy. He is still riding his car. What are we going to do? They are confused. In the camp of the enemy, I pray God will open your ears one time and see the discussions in hell about a child of God. That is why all manner of tricks are being laid before us to set us ablaze. I mean to turn us apart from our heritage. Now the Bible said, they went and called Balaam. They said, look, they covered the whole earth and we don't know what to do. But we believe that if you curse them, it seems to them that these people, we don't know the source of their power. It just seems as if they have been born to overcome. It looks as if it is an heritage, a blessing on their life that they must overcome anywhere they go. Please help us curse them. Did you understand that? For they are too mighty for me. Who is talking there? Balak, the representative of the devil. He said, they are too mighty for me. Did you hear the testimony of the devil? What is he saying? What is he saying? That you are too mighty for him. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I don't know. I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So they came to Balaam. I don't want to talk about Mr. Balaam tonight because he is another man we needed to talk about. Men that because of uselessness can trade anointing out of their lives. Men because of little money, little offering, little tithe, they will sell out the presence of God. And you know, when Balaam died, do you know the record of the Bible? He was a soothsayer. A prophet turned a soothsayer. Do you know the meaning of soothsaying? What is soothsaying? It's not only for telling. Soothsaying. What is the meaning of sooth? Somebody who did English, what's the meaning of to suit? To suit. To suit. Yes, who is talking there? Help me now. To say something pleasing, something just to cool you down. Something to make you cooler. To suit. There are so many prophets that have turned soothsayer. They only preach what suits. Because they want money. Say, yes, brother, you are blessed. Who told you that a wicked man is blessed? Who told you that a fornicator, who is still living in fornication till today, who told you that God is with him? Yeah, is this a brother? I just saw a vision for you that God is blessing you. God is multiplying. You are a soothsayer. Talking things that suit men. That's what Mr. Balaam became. But we don't have time to talk about him. We are tracing something else. We are tracing what is the devil looking for. Why is the devil making the message of holiness very difficult? Why is many people not concerned about living right? It looks as if Balaam has taught Balak a lesson. Now, so Balak sent for Balaam. All the story about how he went and all that, forget that one. So let's quickly go to chapter 22. We're still in chapter 22. We now read towards the last part of it. Verse 38. And Balaam said to Balak, "Lo, I'm come unto you. Have I now power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." And Balaam went to Balak, and they came unto Kadesh Uzos. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. And Balaam said unto Balak, "Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen, 7 rams." And Balak did as Balaam has spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. I'm asking you, why was Balak ready to build 7 altars and to slaughter 7 oxen, 7 rams on each of his altars? Why? Who knows the reason? Just to curse the children of Israel. I don't know whether you're getting me. The devil can make any sacrifice. He can build 7 altars. He can kill 7 rams, 7 oxen. He can do anything. He can sacrifice anything to catch a child of God. Are you following me? When you see the devil tempting you to go and live in sin and live careless, he's looking at something. The devil can pay any price to wreck a child of God. Balaam said, look, before I can say anything, make 7 altars, 7 rams, 7 bulls, and say, I'm going to do it right now. And quickly he went and built 7 altars. As we are talking like that, you might think it's a simple matter. It cost him a lot. Invited people, come, make it. They said, what are you doing? So that I can get away at the children of Israel. And he made that one. And the Bible said, when Balaam went, God met him and told him. And told him, and verse 8, see what God told him. He said, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my life end be like his. Hallelujah. You see the secret? When God is with a man, who can curse him? Who can defy a man whom the Lord has not yet defied? Impossible. So Balaam started and said, look, in fact, I really want to die like the children of Israel. I want my end to be like them. You know what Balak said in verse 11? Balak said to Balaam, what has that done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and the way thou hast blessed them all together. But if you can bless them, keep quiet. I don't like what they are doing. The man said, sorry, must I not take it to speak that which the Lord has put in my mouth? And Balak said to him, come. So Balak took him somewhere and said, come. I know at that point, maybe you didn't see them well. Come and look at them here. Don't worry, I don't know about that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now the Bible said, and Balaam told Balak, say, do you want me to check them here? I say yes. So okay, build another 7 altars. 7 rams, 7 oxen. The man went ahead and did it immediately. For what purpose? Take to catch the children of Israel. Some of you don't know how much the devil is paying just to catch you. It means a lot. You don't know what the devil can pay. He can pay thousands. And if he doesn't catch in one section, he goes to another place. Say, come and see them here. You don't know what the devil can pay. He can pay thousands. And if he doesn't catch in one section, he goes to another place. Say, come and see them here. And he brought him into the field of Zobim, verse 14 now, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said to Balaam, stand here by your burnt offering and meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balaam and say, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, shall he not do it? As he spoken, shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed. I cannot reverse it. Did you hear me? When the Lord is with the man, and God has blessed him, who can reverse it? Nobody. Some of you say the devil. No devil. I'll tell you when the devil is able to do something. It's a rule, it's a principle. is one who does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Say, thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph. Where? In Christ Jesus. Always. That's a way in all these things. We are more than conquerors. How? Through Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be, to have his presence. So this man took him up and he said, look, behold, I received commandment to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Did you note verse 21? There's a secret there, which the devil quickly took note of. God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God, is within, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt, and you know, he went down. Verse 25, and Balaam spoke unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them again. Thank you. Thank you. Don't bless them again. And don't curse them. I'm sorry for that. And if I brought you, I beat now 14 altars, 14 bullock, 14 rams, and all together we are just blessing them. Thank you, Mr. Balaam. You can go now. Abba, what kind of thing is this? It were better you keep quiet. They are saying what is the thing you are saying. I don't know what you have done. Hallelujah. Verse 27, you will think that Balak will give up. And Balak said to Balaam, come, I pray you. I will bring you unto another place. By adventure it will please God that thou mayest cause me time from thence. And Balaam brought Balak unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, bring me here. Seven oars. Return me here, 7 bullocks, 7 rams. And Balaam did as Balaam said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. How many altars now? How many bullocks now? How many rams now? So, for what purpose? Just to cause a child of God. If you know how the devil's spend sleepless nights, how to overcome a child of God. It's just a pity that we don't know. It's a pity that we just think that we are ordinary. We are not. I just pray that you will hear the message that is coming from here. How they are planning and planning and planning just about you. Thousands of naira, they don't mind spending it just to catch you, just to destroy you. Hallelujah. Then he brought him again, and Balaam knew that God is not ready to curse these people because he has not seen iniquity in their midst. No problem with them. So he just opened his eyes. He began to prophesy. He began to say many wonderful things. And Balaam's anger, that day, was kindled against Balaam. And he brought his eyes together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call you to curse my enemies. And behold, thou hast all together blessed them these 3 times. Therefore now, flee to your place. I thought I would promote you unto great honor. But yet the Lord has kept you back from honor. The Lord has decided not to honor you. Can you tell the devil? Can the devil promote any child of God to honor? Look at Balaam. I just decided that we are not talking about Balaam tonight. If you know the anointing of Balaam, you will not imagine him meddling with these foolish things. Here was a Balaam, the Bible said Balaam, the son of Peor, the man whose eyes are open.
The man that he doesn't need to close his eyes before the word of knowledge will begin to manifest. The man that if he's just looking at you like this, he will see all your intestine and everything inside. And he say, oh, I see one stone inside your kidney now. That was the anointing of Balaam. He saw the visions of God with his eyes opened. And yet, because of this little reward of divination, he became a useless soothsayer. Now, let's go ahead. Well, so go, I don't want this again. And Balaam still took his parable. He told him many things, in verse 25 of chapter 24. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also went his way. Do you know when you came to verse 25, it seems as if nothing happened, isn't it? But something happened. The Bible told us later on, when you go to the book of Hebrews, you go to the book of 2 Peter, the book of Jude, and the book of Revelation, God talked about Balaam. The Balaam was a man who put a stumbling block on the way of God's people. Did you ever come across that before? Before Balaam left Balak, something happened. After Balaam, and Balak shouted, oh, I see this, is it. You see? Let me tell you something. Let me show you something. Go back to that chapter 23. Verse 21, he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Surely, verse 23, there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, word of God wrought. Why? Because the Lord has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Any day that the Lord will behold iniquity in them, that's all. You don't even need to fight. God himself is going to fight them. Are you hearing what Balaam is teaching Balak? Balaam is telling Balak, as long as God is with these people, you can't conquer them. As long as the presence of the Lord is in their midst, the shout of a king is in their midst. The shout of a commander is in their midst. There's no way. There's somebody in their midst who is dealing with you, is God. And the only way to deal with that is if you can drive his presence on their midst. He said, How will I do it? He said, there's only one thing God doesn't want to see. What is that thing? See. God doesn't want to see iniquity. If you can introduce iniquity to their midst now, they become ordinary. Balaam taught Balak. Since that day, Balak has been wise. I tell you, brethren, the devil knows that if God's presence will remain with each one of us day and night, there's nothing he can do to deliver us. The Lord said, the least in the kingdom of God is better than John the Baptist. But something has happened that makes the devil to come near your own house and stay there. Something has happened that will now begin to fall up and lie now before one man and say, man of God, what has made us defeated in ourselves? What is telling you in your heart that God can hear your own prayer, no matter how you pray? Balak has learned a lesson. Balak said, look,
The shout of the king is among them.
So you don't have some daughters? So you don't have some small, small girls? Strange enough, Balak, Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. There was something.
Balak said, in vain will you call me to help them. God has already blessed them, I can't reverse it. But if you can turn the eyes of the Lord away from their lives, they are finished.
Balaam said, that's it.
Balak proudly said, don't you have some girls?
So go to chapter 25. I'm looking chapter 25 now. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moab, against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away. Let's continue this verse 9. And those that died in the plague were how many? 24,000. In how many days? What has done that? See, what the devil couldn't do, what all the Agag, Sisera, the king of Eshba, all the mighty, mighty kings of the world, what they could not do, see, he will do it in one day. That the devil will never be able to win. See, we win it for him in less than 2 hours. That's what we are talking about tonight. Balaam said, Balak, you have spent a lot of money on altars, on sacrifices, on bullocks and oxen and lambs. That is not the way out. There's only one thing that will wreck and wreck the church. Balaam taught Balak. Are you listening to me tonight? Balaam has already revealed a secret to Balak. Balaam has taught Balak that that's where he can catch us. And I see the devil operating this thing so seriously. You realize that there are too many Christians, too many people shouting the name of Jesus everywhere in our country. Why are we so weak? Balaam has taught Balak a lesson. Do you notice that opposition fighting against us and say, yes, we will kill them, we will curse them? It won't work. The devil knows. The devil has discovered where we work. He got these daughters of Moab. Don't know. I'll be talking about these daughters of Moab very briefly, but I'm not just talking about women alone. What did they do? Why they painted their lips and painted their finger? They did it deliberately. Barak sponsored them. Hey, hey, look at him. Hey, hey, I just want to greet you. So that the child of God can do what? Can fall. Yes. Oh, yes. Hurry. No, they move very fast. They talk very fast. Their eyes turned like that, just doing like this. Can you imagine a Christian, the glory of God in your life? You just got to, you are just driving from Europe to Lagos. And in that luxurious box, they are sitting with the daughter of Moab. and she's pretending to be taught. No, she's not. Maybe she didn't finish her school start. You want to go and say, yeah, how are you? How is this with you? And instead of you to speak the simple English you know, and say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, what of you? You say, fight! Oh, where are you going? You're getting a letter. Oh, yeah, I'm getting a letter. Is that what God told you to do? Is that the way God told you to preach? And before you know it, the presence of God has departed. You don't need that to pray. Your mouth becomes very thick. Balak learned a lesson from Balaam. Is there any Dukatelia? Remember, think about it now. Anytime you both want to act, you want to eat either in an hotel or a Dukatelia, roadside Dukatelia anywhere, who are these people you see? Who are the advertising agents? Right? Have you noticed that they are daughters of Mark? He said, yes, come, Hamalaisia, Hebaisia, oh, Lapanelia, anything you want at all, and a useless girl will come in. Yes, anything I tell you, man, don't worry. And you, if a long time, you left 100 naira a day for your life to cook soup. Just because one useless girl will do like this, she's going nowhere. No, it's not that she wants to do anything. She just wants to be parading herself in your presence. It's not that she's looking for something for salt, for the pepper. No, she's not looking for anything. It is you she's looking for. And carelessly, the presence of God departs. What you never intended to spend, you spend. What you didn't intend to do, you do. What you never intended to say, you say it. To Pastor Moore. And they invite you around. And you see what they have done. The Bible said they came and they began to commit war done with the daughters of Moab. I don't know how to trust these things completely tonight. But I want you to know that Balaam taught Balak a lesson in affecting the church of Jesus until today. There are so many things that have infiltrated the church, the body of Christ. There are so many ideas that people have invented from the world system that are brought into the body of Christ. It is Balak that sponsored it. There's so many things that is going on in fellowships. There's so many things that ladies, brothers, men, even pastors are doing. Balak sponsored it. So say yes, you know, the Spirit is moving. This Spirit, except the Spirit of the Moabites that is moving around. May I tell you, brother, the beauty of the church is in holiness. When there is sin, we are naked. Our beauty is turned to ashes. Nothing. And here we have, there are hundreds and thousands of men shouting, but their shouting go nowhere. Because Barak has got the secret. And see what Balak was willing to do. He made sacrifices and invited us. Sacrifice. Don't you hear the Bible say, obedience is better than sacrifice. See how many sacrifices many of you are making. Sacrifices to attend fellowship. Sacrifices to give money. Sacrifices to buy, you know, musical equipment and everything. But simple obedience. The thing that the Holy Spirit said, don't do again. You won't do that. You will not obey. What will you be doing? You want to give money? You want to join choir? You want to sing? You want to do this? You want to do the sacrifice? See what God found in most of our meetings? Ordinary sacrifice. When are you going to get Christians to settle down and say,
what is my condition before you? Are you still with me? I, the Moabites, infiltrate our homes, infiltrate our kitchen, just to try the presence of God from your life. And many of us are already wounded. Where is the blessedness you knew when the Lord first came to your life? It has come. Was that ever, you know, ever fresh presence of God that rested upon your spirit? That as you are going, you knew that somebody is with you. That man has gone long ago. Can I tell you, brethren? 24,000 souls died one day. Even if you are going to face your combat, physical combat, is it possible for you to slaughter 24,000 in one day? What man cannot do, what the devil cannot achieve, you will do it in one day. You did it. You can do it. So if you can get the eyes of the Lord from them, finish. And so they join themselves. The Moabites. You might take it as a small matter, you might say, now do small anger. But when I do for a small something, after all, you're the one provoking me. After all, it's because my wife, it's because of he's the Moabite. And they know what they're looking for. The will of God for us, for the church, is for each one of us to be priests. Is that correct? For each one of us to be able to stand and cast out demons. But what is happening? When one demon just jump in your own house, you begin to shake and shiver, looking for somebody. Why? As you are meaning that they don't say you and you too. So you also you will pray. You. So you also you want to pray. You will just say, brethren, something has to be done tonight. I want 10 volunteers. Who will just go and help us cast out the demon somewhere? So when you think, brethren, I have not prepared. Usually, before I do that kind of thing, I must go for 3 days fasting and prayer. What about me? The Moabites. The daughter jump up in the night, in the day, and call on you and say, yes, move, let's move. Because you are going for business and you are compromised. That was not Balaam for Balak. Up to today, it's still working. It will never work. It's a secret that the devil has got to know. It's a pity. And that is why he can do anything to catch you. I conclude with another man's story, Elisha. Do you know Elisha? Elisha of the Bible. The king of Syria, in 2 Kings chapter 6, called a meeting. The meeting of his army generals, brigadiers, and leaders of guards and centurions and all of that. And what was this at the end of this meeting? He said, excuse me. All of you that are here, who is the saboteur among us? Why is it that anytime we plan battle strategy against these people, why is it that ever before we finish our meeting, the man has heard? Do you remember there was a meeting like that? Yeah? Second Kings. I want you to check it. It's one of the things we are saying for tonight, and we'll stop it. Second Kings chapter 6. For the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants raised up his hand and said, no, no, Lord, no, my Lord. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the word that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He said, let's not just be looking for where there's no fire. All of us are as loyal to you as anything. But the problem is that there is this man, Elisha, is a prophet. God is with him. As you are talking in your room, in your bedroom, you are not even speaking out. You are just imagining it. The man has picked it. So even before you open your mouth and say all these things, as we are talking now, excuse me, as we are talking now, the man is telling you. That's what happened. That's the meeting the devil calls. That's the discussion that goes on over every standing child of God. You hearing me? That's what happens. Every confederacy the devil is calling, he's wondering, what is happening? Why can't we catch this before? Elisha knew he's there. As we are talking now, the man has got it. And there's no way to conquer Israel except we get rid of that man. I don't know what I'm saying. There's no way for the devil to enter your family until we get rid of this man. There's no way we can overcome except we get that man out. Is the prophet. God is with him. As if God is with him, there's nothing we are doing here. He knows everything now. Yes. Let's make the conclusion of the meeting. And he said, go and spy where he is. That's the strategy. What does the devil do? Go and spy where he is. The devil is always looking for the weak point. He's looking for where you are. So that you may strike. Praise the Lord. That I may think and do what? Searching. If the devil wants to overcome this place now, all he needed to search are the people who are living holy lives. Then you go to a church, a fellowship, a meeting, a group. Where there is sin, there is beauty. No matter how you paint it, you are foolish. You are foolish. There will be sacrifice, there will be many things, people will be dancing, there will be jumping, they will say, yes, the spirit is with them, God is with them. You are lying. You are Balak. You have sponsored that in the program. I'm telling you, if you don't like it, don't come again. Are you hearing me? There's nothing we are looking for. We are not going to become soothsayer in Jesus' name. That's nothing. I don't need money. I don't need anything. But let's just go balance talk Balak. When they were all dancing and lifting up their legs and doing like this and doing like that, Balak said, am I going to succeed? Balak said, sure. If I send my daughters among them, am I going to succeed? Say, sure. How many fellowships have been destroyed because of these daughters of love? How many strong men of God, are falling flat because Balak sponsored men into their lives? How many strong men of God, are falling flat? Because Balak sponsored men into their lives. Little things, might be for promotion, might be for contract, might be for anything that has made you to deny your consecration with God. So they said, okay, let's go and fetch him. And he was told in saying, behold, he is in Dothan. So what interests me in this story? It's verse 14. And therefore sent he there what? Horses, chariots, and a great host to catch who? One man.
Do you know what it costs to mobilize a great host? Eh? Do you know Nigeria has sent some people to Liberia? You know it's very costly. Very costly. Well, nobody can tell how many millions is going over that per day. Because they have to receive their inconvenience allowance, night allowance, food allowance, and calamity allowance, any kind of allowance. And we don't care if they can do what we want. Syria, the king of Syria said, if it is that man, I don't worry, I don't care. Horses, chariots, a great host. Oh yeah, be on the move now. He signed all the vouchers, got everything ready, and they were to move. And they were to move by night, when you will not see. Sister, are you hearing me? The battle that is against your life is coming by night, when you are sleeping. The enemy has come to spy where your weak point is. See how he was carrying Balaam up everywhere. So come and see them here, whether you will see their uttermost. Come and see them here, whether you will see their secret. Come and see them, whether you see. That's how the devil compasses your life everywhere, just making sure to pull you down. And he spends all this just to catch one man. I'm telling you, the value of a child of God who is living with God, we cannot overestimate it. So when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? They have come, they have come, they have come, they have come, they have come. I'm sure maybe the boy woke up to go and urinate that night. And he saw this. He ran back. He said, my father, something has happened. A great host, and they are looking for you. They will kill you now. Elisha said, fear not. Nobody can kill me. But greater is he that is with us than he that is with them all together. You can only say that when he is with you. All these empty songs, greater is he that is with me. No lie. You cannot say that when he is not there. Why am I going to live holy? The devil has priced my life so high. The devil will jubilate if he can get something in my life. Yes, will rejoice and say, yes, we don't catch the man. If he can introduce one small foolishness into my life, that's why I don't want to play. If the devil has wounded you tonight, God wants you to repent. There's no need to hide. Balak has already told him that, look, that's it. You might be still using camouflage. You are not speaking in tongues and shouting around. The devil knows. Balak knows. When God has departed, the glory has gone. May God help us to become men like Elijah, who even in the night, where no eyes can see, he could still say, greater is he that is with me in the night. Many of us, we live holy lives in the day. What do we live in the night? We live good in the presence of men. What do we do in the absence of the multitude? Are you hearing what I'm talking about tonight? What do we do when the multitude is not there? How do we handle our lives in the absence of the pastors, in the absence of the leaders of full gospel, in the absence of meetings, in at home, alone, husband and wife? How do you handle your life? I dare not husband and wife hear that they would just, the wife will just sleep like this, the husband will sleep like this. You will go, don't greet me. You don't know that Moab, Balak, sponsor that arrangement, that he might pull you down. I don't know what it will cost you, husband, to go and prostrate for your wife, if that will settle the matter and the presence of God will return to your life. I don't know what that meant to you. I don't know why. Amen. The man, I must teach him a lesson. He's taking me for granted. Is that why you are giving in to Moab? Balak has sent this Moab to your life. And you are saying, you don't know anything. Somebody is contending for your life. It's the devil. You are saying, my husband, not your husband, now Balak. I pray you see properly tonight in Jesus' name.
So say, you see, many people themselves are hypocrites. Nobody can be true. He can be perfect. Sorry, the devil is spending all he can on you as an individual. If he has got others, is that the reason why he should get you? If others are living careless, is that why you want to trade your own life also into the hand of Balak? If others have compromised, if others are living foolishly, and they are selling, an eternal inheritance into the hand of the devil for a small enjoyment, is that why you also want to follow them? Will you also go? The question before us tonight, will you also go? Will you follow them? Will you also cut off the anointing of God on your life? And they paid heavily. But thank God for that brother. In the night, he said, "Fear not, God is with us." And he jumped up, he went and faced them. He went and faced the great hopes. He said, "Excuse me, O men of Syria." They said, "Yes, sir." Whom are they saying yes, sir, to? The God who lives in Elisha. Say, whom are you looking for? They say, we are looking for one man called Elisha, the prophet of the living God that is living in Dothan. You say, sorry for you. You missed the road. Can all of you just line up and follow me? I take you to where he is. And their eyes were blinded. They started following the man. He led them to the center of the town, in the palace of the king. They said, "Father, open their eyes that they may see." They saw, they said, "This is not where we begin to come. You have come now, you have come. You are looking for Elijah. Sit down first, sit down here." He led them to where they will never, never think of coming again. For years, they never attempted to attack the children of Israel, because they went back with a report. He went and told the master who sent them. He said, "Oga, that man, now wow. That man, now wow. Come and see how he commanded and ordered all of us around. And when he took us to the palace of their king, they gave us akara and maimai and we ate." At the end, he said, "We should come and serve you." Is that what I spent all the mobilization fee to achieve? Then, wow, that's what we also see. That's how we see. The God is Christians who maintain the presence of God in their lives day and night. Not in the daytime, but every night, every day, they are standing before God. And what do we say? What do we say about Joseph? How this daughter of Moab organized. The Bible said every day the woman spoke to Joseph, "Come and lie with me." The boy said, "No, I can't do that, please. I cannot disobey God to lie with you." Later on she changed. He said, "No, I don't say you should lie with me. Come and do what? Be with me." You see the devil. If he tells you of fornication, you say, "No, I bind you in the name of Jesus." He won't tell you that. He just come and be with me. Let's play Ludo together. When you are playing Ludo with the devil, you don't know what he's looking for. You will be playing to your hand so that you will be winning. You say, yes, I'm winning. Can the devil allow you to win and God's comfort you? Small things.
small compromises. Little foxes. Little things you don't think about. You think they are just happening because no calamity fell. One useless boy, he's coming around to touch your breast, to touch your lips, to touch everywhere. And you say, well, I thank God with this book in tongues. Hallelujah. You don't know where the devil is going. You have a boyfriend, you have a fiance or fiancé. Any day you meet, anointing of God disappears in your life. I ask you, what are you doing with that marriage? The plans you are making, where do you want to live? You can't stand and say, sorry, this thing is not helping me. The Bible says two are better than one. The way I'm discovering now, it looks as if two is worse than one in our home case. When I was alone, I'm living well. Now that you enter into my life, this little 5 months of courtship, you enter with one man, your life is scattered. What are you doing there? Balak has sponsored that man. You need to repent. I told you the reason why if I preach on holiness, if it looks so strong, if it looks so difficult, it's because there's a wherefore on which we are building. That God say, I will be with you. So this night, see how much money all the lords of Philistines, 5 of them, how much they paid unto Delilah just to catch something. That's to show you the value of a Christian. The promise that they said, we are going to give you, each of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. That's, I don't know how much that will cost in dollars. And so 5 of them, apart from the bride price that the girl was going to collect, he has about 5,500 pieces of silver if we just discover the secret of the power of Samson. Everybody has been confused. Who is this Samson? Anytime he comes, he destroys us. How do we catch him? And look at Samson, foolishly. He began to show the locks of his head. The separation God has made him to separate unto God since he was born. When I come tomorrow, I will now start talking about how now to live in holiness. Tonight we are looking at the need. I wish God will persuade you to see the need. Whether anybody is there, whether nobody is there, whether people are preaching it or they are not preaching it. If you see the need, you will stand. You will tell yourself, you will tell your neighbor, you tell your friend, you tell your pastor, you tell everybody, say, excuse me, I have my life to live. I want to live for Jesus. Hi, look at the devil. The leader started touching where nobody has ever touched. For years that this man had been born, nobody has touched that thing. This girl was now putting her hand there. I'm feeling it. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Something. He looked at it, this thing on the menu, he said, count it again. Number five, number six, number seven. I can't see anything. I say, yes, you have counted with only seven. 7 locks of anointing. 7 locks of holiness. 7 locks of consecration. 7 locks of consecration that I made to God many, many years ago. If you cut it now, I'll become like any other man. Are you going to become like any other man? And the girl brought razor and cut it down. And Samson, a mighty man of God, who broke Philistines and people feared it, became helpless. He said, Philistines are come on you. He said, yes, I will now jump up. I will now do this. When Christians are talking too much, with little or no action, it shows that something has gone. Our calling is not that of a talkative. We are called unto glory. We are called to virtue and to action. When you are talking, without doing anything, it shows something as missing. And again, the bandit, the first thing they did was to pluck out his 2 eyes. They removed it. So the only thing that remained there was ordinary socket, no eyeball.
A mighty man of God, born to win. You know what he became in the land of Philistine?
Do you know what he became? A grinder of pepper. He gave him a very heavy stone. Any time small, small boys, they want to grind pepper for 10 copper. He said, Charlie, Stanley, let me grind this equity and pepper. Of course, he cannot see. He will grind. When he gave the queen, he gave him one of these condemned ten copper that were no more using. He gave him. He can't see. That's what a mighty man of God became. That's the dream of Balak about you. And it's a definite, you know, Bolila is also from this countryside. Anytime people want somebody to come and make sport for them, all this entertainment, they now bring a man of God. Something. Our dance, they could see how you can dance now. As you will be dancing, you will be shouting, you will be dancing. You are a mighty man before. You are a mighty man before. You are a mighty man, mighty man. Dance for us, let's see. Dance for us, let's see. Samson. A man born to rule, born to reign, born to win. What is he doing there? That's what sin will do. So if God is talking to you about holiness, it's because you are dearly beloved. Now I put it before you tonight. If you want to ruin your destiny, you can throw this message away. But the Bible says, without holiness, no man. No man. No matter how. No matter how. Doesn't matter what people are doing now. No man shall see the Lord. So as if he's stuck here tonight to pray. Why do I want to consecrate my life? Why do I want to set myself apart? For God has said, I will dwell in you. I will walk with you. I will be your father. You'll be my son. You'll be my daughter. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, be ye separate. So as we begin to talk to God tonight, that's the reason why we talk of holiness. And I want you to consider this. Are you wounded? Has Balak got the secret of your life? Did you now discover many things you are doing? You don't know why the devil is always interfering. Isn't that because the presence of the Lord has gone? When we were out of touch with the master. When the master was not there, see how you started shouting over your wife. When the presence of the Lord left, see how your business is confused. You that whether you have money or not, pain was in your heart. You are now having high blood pressure. Because sin separated the presence of God from you. As we talk to God tonight, I want you to feel free. Tell God what you want. Tell him how far you want to go with it. Tell him how tall you want to grow. Shall we bow down to pray? Feel free to talk to God. Speak to God from your heart.